So on the top of Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, yeah. V'atochen, the Mishnah says that you chayev for grinding. Omer of Papa, Haiman de Purim Silka. Purim means to sever, to cut. And Silka, which in modern Hebrew is beets, but I think in the Gemara's time it was spinach. Let's just see what the English translation has here. For Silka, he has beets. Oh, see, he has beets. I think in the Gemara's time, it was not beets, but it was spinach. But he has beets. So he's cutting up beets. Chayev mishum tochen. Now, apparently, he must be cutting them very small, into small particles, because the classic case of tochen was that they took kernels of wheat and they made it into a flour, so they had to really grind it into small pieces. Here, he's chopping up a beet, but apparently he's transforming it into many, many different particles. And that's a tolda of meleches tochen. So in English you'd call it mincing. Right, when you mince something, you make it into small pieces. Okay. Again, there can be somebody Shodim who'll say that if you mince something and you intend to eat it immediately, maybe that's not a malacha. But let's say he's not eating it immediately, so he's chayav mishum tochen. He writes here in the note that Dafka silka, besilka shayach tochen, aval b'shar ochlim mutar. But the Rashba writes that lav dafka silka, hu adin l'chol yerek, any vegetable where you have to cut it up in order to eat it. It's not eaten in its raw state. But b'shar ochlim anecholim chayim, any other foodstuff that could be eaten raw, is ein bechitucha mishum tochen. That's not called tochen because he's not making it roi lachila. So that's when does this malach apply? When you prepare something for eating. Hachotech yerech chai, the Rambam writes, chayev mishum tochen. And interesting, the Rambam doesn't seem to differentiate between one yerech or another. But the other Rishonim say it's got to be a selek or something similar to a selek, which cannot be eaten unless you cut it into small pieces. Omer Rav Menashe, Haiman de Solik, de Solis Silte. So we're talking about a piece of wood, and he's chopping up the wood into small chips, and he's going to use it as firewood. Is chay mishum tochen. So this is a pretty revolutionary idea that you could be chay for tochen even on something that's not an edible. Omar Rav Ashi, I kopit a mishchasa. In other words, if he's very careful to cut it in a certain size, a certain measurement, then chay mishum mechatech. We can add another malacha here. And that's meleches mechatech. Usually mechatech was done in skins, in hides, but it could also be done in pieces of wood. V'alosh v'ha'ofer. So we have a case of kneading and baking. Omer ha'papa, shavak tana didon bishul, samimonim davi b'mishkan v'nokit ofer. Why is the Mishnah mentioned Afia and not Bishul? In fact, in the Mishkan, the Malacha was Bishul. They took the Samamon of these various herbs and so forth, and they cooked them in a cauldron with hot water, and then the Samamon would give off a dye, D-Y-E, a dye in the water. So why did the Mishnah mention Ofer and not Ofer rather than Mevasha? So the Gemara says, Tana Didan, what is the agenda of our Tana, who authored our Mishnah, Sidur de Pas Nokat? He wants to mention those malachos that are necessary to bake a piece of bread. and therefore he mentions Afia instead of Bishul. So he writes the following. He says, Afal Gav, the Gams Hamemonim, Hoyu B'Mishkan, and they did the Molochos for the sake of the Samemonim. And he says, Milvada Ofer, Achlo Hoyu Bahem is a Seder Azeh, Yesh Samemonim, She'en Bahem Lisha, Disha, V'yesh She'en Bahem Brera, V'yeshem Ein Bahem Tchino V'chadome. He says that even though the malachos that we have up to, but not including afia, were done for the sake of samamon, but not always, because not all samamon lend themselves to disha, to brera, to tchina, etc. He says, Lochein hischel atan v'shonas ha-seder apas, sheyesh bo es kol ha-malachos. In other words, if he would have gone with the malachos that were done in samamonim, culminating in Bishul, then it would be very odd because not all these malachas are always done for the sake of Bishul Samamonim. Some are, in certain cases, some aren't in other cases. And therefore, Hischil B'Seder Apas, he chooses the Seder Apas, Vishona Seder Apas, Sheyesh Bo is Kol HaMalachos. The advantage of Seder Apas is that all the malachas apply, every one of the 11, in order to end up with baking a loaf of bread. So if I understand correctly, the choice of bread, and therefore afia, was because it is absolutely so that if you want to start from beginning and end with afia, then you've got to do all these malachos. Every single one of them is critical. In fact, we had a Gemara that kotesh b'machteshes would make a bread that an usher could eat, whereas if you leave out ketisha from the seder, then an ani will eat that bread, but a poor person, not a rich person. And therefore, Ketisha was omitted from the Mishnah. In other words, the Mishnah is looking for absolute categories. To create an absolute category where in every single scenario, every single case, you're going to be chayv all 11 malachas if you do from beginning to end, we can only do it with Sidur Depas. If we would take some Amonim, which was done in the Mishkan, and end with Bishul, then some of the malachas would be very iffy. Iffy in the sense that maybe there would be a Borer, maybe there won't be a bore. Maybe there will be token, there might be token. It really depends on different factors and different kinds of sum of money. But if we want to get an absolute of all these 11 malachas, then we have to talk about setting up a pass. Because if our ultimate goal here is to get a pass, get a piece of bread out of the oven, then we have to go through all 11 malachas. That's an absolute. He offers another pshat here, which is a little bit out of my realm. He says, "Nokat seder asiyas pas mipnei shehu kiyum ha'olam bedavar shehu shave b'chol nefesh." In other words, when we eat a meal, we break bread. You know, bread is like the staple of every meal, and it keeps the world going, and it's something that everybody appreciates. You know, once you get into bishul and cooking, yeah, maybe you like this, you like that, but cooking is not as essential to sustain man as bread is. So these are the interpretations. I'm sure there are more, but this is why the Mishnah Dafka wants to give you a Seder of Malachas that culminates in the bread coming out of the oven. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Omar Rav Acha Bar Rav Avira Haiman Deshada Sikta La'atuna. So he takes a peg, I guess a wooden peg, and it's wet, it's moist, and he throws it into an oven, a hot oven, in order to dry it. Is Chayav Mishum Avashel. And again, that same radical chiddush that we saw before, in the case of Meleches Tochen, that you could be chayav for Tochen, even on something that's not an edible, And here, and here too, we say that you're chayev from aleches bishul on something that's not an edible. So we had the case where you cut up wood and you chay mishum machatech, and now he's baking wood and he's chay mishum mevashel pshita. Now the same l'sharure manaka mechavin. He's only strengthening this piece of wood by drawing it out. That's not bishul. You know, it's bishul is something that's absolutely critical. It really changes, transforms the foodstuff. It wasn't edible, and now it's edible. Here, in the case of this yased, of this a piece of wood, he's improving it by drawing it out, but it's not critical. Kamash Malan, now he tells you a different definition of Bishul. De Mirpa Rafi Vehadar Kamit. That at the beginning of the process, he softens the wood by heating it, and that begins a process which eventually the lachus, the moisture, is going to be dried up. And therefore, his kavana is what's called lechazek esha yosed. So let's go through the Ma'od Tema once more. Perhaps we would say that this is called lechazek esha yosed. Kamash Malan, no. What does this mean? Well, I'm not clear on what was the deliberation here, the Shakla of Itaria. Let me just read this to you. He says that if someone throws a peg into an oven to harden it, he's chayev for mevashel, and I would have thought that since he intends only to strengthen it, therefore he's not chayef. He needs to harden the peg, and the Gemara thinks that the malach of cooking is defined by softening a hard object through fire. In this case, he is not softening the peg, but rather he is hardening the peg. Kamash Malan, that first he has to soften the peg, and only afterwards is it hard. So although Bishul, by definition, means to soften something, here also, he's softening something. The word first softens from the heat, during which time the water evaporates, and only afterwards can the wood harden. Since the initial softening of the wood is absolutely needed to strengthen it, the person is liable for the act of cooking. So this is really interesting. He's softening it, but that's only a means to an end. I mean, his ultimate goal is to harden it and to cook it. Cook it meaning make it hard. But I guess, if I understand the Gemara correctly, since he cannot achieve his goal without first going through a stage of softening it, therefore his intention is to soften it, and he's chayv mishum bishul. Omar Rabba Barav Huna, Haiman the artich kufra chayv mishum mevashel. Kufra is called pitch, and someone who heats up pitch and converts it into a liquid is chayv mishum mevashel pshita. Why would I think otherwise? This is, you know, instead of cooking herbs, you know, he's now cooking pitch. The Gemara says, "Ma'od de tema." I could have thought, "Came in the hadar
v'ikusha lema lo. In other words, the substance of the pitch after it gets heated up and it's a liquid, then it cools off and it becomes a solid. So his ultimate goal is to make it into a solid substance, and therefore he's not chayav mishum aleches bishul. One could also argue, we have in malachas a condition, it's got to be a malach shel kayama, it's got to be permanent. Here the malach of bishul is not permanent. But what bothers my mind is, why does Gemara need this case of pitch? Couldn't the Gemara have derived that from the previous case of the peg? Because in the case of the peg, he softens it in order for it to become hard. He softens it before, because he wants to make it hard, to strengthen it. And now we're saying, in this Hamamin, about the Seima, that since his ultimate goal is that it should harden, like in the case of pitch, I might think that you're potter. Kamash malon. So how is that different than the previous case of the pegs? He says here, since the effect of the malacha does not last, this act is considered only a told of cooking. So he's saying that there was no havmina that it'd be potter. The havmina would be that it was only a told. Case of sichta, the Gemara writes, kamash malon de mirpa rafi vehadar kamit, which I read the following. I don't know if I'm right, that even though it will ultimately become hard, but still in the first stage, it gets softened up by the heat.
Right.
And I mean, and that sounds identical to the description of Kufra, that even though eventually it'll get hard, but first it gets soft. And the Gemara, interesting, when the Gemara wants to justify the Chiddush here of Rav Acha about the case of Sichta, the Gemara doesn't seem to emphasize that. Let me ask it a different way. I think that I should reformulate my question. The Gemara has a havamina in the case of Kufra than Hadar Ikusha. Well, we just had a case of Hadar Ikusha. And again, the Gemara doesn't use, in the case of the Yosef, right, the Sichta, the Gemara doesn't use the word Hadar Ikusha, but instead it says Hadar Komet. Now, what does the word kamit mean? In the Hebrew translation, he says it becomes hard. Let's see what he has in the English translation. V'hadar kamit. Mao de sema. Right? The shrei monaka. Mao de sema. Why did I lose the place here? Just a second. Yeah. Mao de sema, etc. Kamash malon. The peg first softens and only then hardens. So the word kamit is identical with the word ikusha. So you already told me that something that first gets soft and then gets hard is chayav mishum bishul. Why do you have to repeat the same chiddush a second time? The wood first softens from the heat, and only afterwards can it become hard. But since he needs the initial strengthening of the wood, I'm sorry, the initial softening of the wood, in order to strengthen it, he's liable even for the act of cooking, meaning the first stage in which he softens it. Once I know that, why do I have to continue with the chiddush of pitch? He's telling me that the chiddush of pitch is that even though it gets hard, but you chai because it first gets soft. Well, I already know that from the previous case of Kufra. Omar Rava, Haiman di Ovid Chavita, he creates an earthenware barrel, Chayv Mishum Sheva Chatos. In the creation of this barrel, he violates seven different melachos. And now we're going to go through all seven of them. Rashi says, number one, he's chayv for grinding. He takes clods of earth and he grinds them into small particles. Number two, sorting, which is borer, because he has to take out the large pebbles so he can focus on the smaller pebbles. And sifting, he's going to then sift the dirt in a sieve. Kneading, he's going to add water to the dirt and knead it. Smoothing, he's going to have to smoothen the mud when forming the structure of the barrel. Kindling, he's got to light a fire in the oven, baking. And then he takes this barrel and he bakes it to harden it. Tanura, let's say he makes an oven out of earthenware, chay mishum shmona chatos. So now we're going to add another chatos. Which malach are we adding? He's liable for the seven malachas that he was liable before when he created a barrel, excuse me. And now when he creates an oven, he's going to be chayav for number eight. Because he adds an extra layer of mud for insulation. And this act is included in the malacha of makir v'patish. It's the last step in manufacturing the oven. Why is there no comparable case in the case of the barrel? He says, since the barrel is automatically completed during the baking process. So in the case of the barrel, he doesn't have to do any action in order to perfect the barrel. He doesn't need a final blow. He doesn't need a makir v'patish. But in the case of manufacturing an oven, then he needs this last action, which is going to be makir v'patish. And that's to make it insulated. It's not enough that he prepared and he manufactured the object, but he needs to make sure that the oven is insulated. And in order to insulate it, he needs to do another malach. He adds an extra layer for insulation. Omar Abaye, Haiman di Ovid Chalta, Chayv Achatasre Chatos. So he makes a large round receptacle out of reeds. And why does he violate 11 different malachas? So in the case of the tanur, we added the malacha makir v'patish. And now, in this case of Haiman, the Ovid Chalsa, we're going to add and get up to 11 chatos. Okay, so this is a large receptacle made from reeds. And he's chayav mishum, number one, notea, kotzer, ma'amer, that's when he gathers together these kanim, these reeds, borer, he takes out the good weeds and the bad, leaves out the bad reeds, memachek, hichlik, Esakonim, Tochen, Mechatech, Mesich, Osesh Tebote Nirin, Oreg, and Makabapatish. we have the list here of reaping, planting, gathering, selecting, smoothing, and cutting, setting up the warp, looping two reeds around the warp reeds, locking them in position, weaving, and finally striking the final blow, makave patish. The chayte lefume, and if he sews up its mouth, chayev shloshes rechatos. So he's going to add a border around the opening of the receptacle, and now he's chayev for another two malachos, jacking it up from 11 to 13, and that is sewing, which he sews on the border, and tying, which is malachas kosher, when he ties the threads. So we're up to Gozeis es Hatzemer v'Hamalabdo. We're going back to the Mishnah now, to the Malachas of Oreg. HaGozeis es Hatzemer v'Hamalabdo. So he shears off the wool and then he whitens it. Omar Rabba Barba Chonom Rab Yochanan HaTove Tzemer Shalgabi Behema B'Shabbos Chayev Sholosh Chatos. So he can violate three chatos in the case where he spins wool on the back of an animal. Number one, achas mishum gozes, he shears off the wool. Achas mishum menapets, and he takes out the knots, or he disentangles it. The achas mishum tove, and the spinning itself. So he combs the animal's hair, he spins the animal's hair, and then he cuts off the threads. Rav Kahana Amar, Ein Derech Ziza Bekach, V'Ein Derech Menapetz Bekach, V'Ein Derech Tvei Bekach. This is Shalok Kedaka, this is Kilachayad. This is not the normal way of shearing, or disentangling, or spinning. So Gemara asks, V'Lov Asani Mishmei, the Rabbi Nechemia, Shotov be'izim v'tovo be'izim, that the cases in which in the Mishkan they prepared these threads were, as it says in the pasuk, tovo sa'izim, which now we interpret to mean that the chachmei lev, the women in the midbar, were able to spin the goat hairs that were still attached to the goat. And they spun them into threads. And apparently they were combing and spinning the hair while it was still growing on the animal's back. And the reason for this, says the Sfarno, is because it preserves the luster, the color. So if this is the way it was done in the Mishkan, Alma Tvi al Gabi Behema, that even if you spin on the back of the animal while the wool is still attached to the animal, is chayev. And it's considered tviya, shmei tviya. So the Gemara answers, chachma yisera shiny. The unordinary kind of tviya that went out of the Mishkan is different. That doesn't set up for us the standard of normative tviya. And the pasuk says, v'chol hanoshim esher nasa liban osana b'chachma. They were inspired with wisdom. They were endowed with extraordinary wisdom, above and beyond your average person. They were able to do this in a very specific, unusual, and very advanced kind of way to get the maximum output. But this is not the standard that sets spinning, that sets up a spin, a tviya, to spin threads for you and I. It still remains an unusual way of doing it. And that's called Chochma Yisera Shaini. Tanur Rabbanu, we learned in a Braisa, HaTolesh Es HaKanof, he plucks a feather from the wing of a bird. That's the first thing he does. VaKotmo, then he clips it. VaMorto, and then he pulls off the hairs from this Kanaf. Is Chayev Sholosh Chatos. He violates three different malachos. And now Reb Shimon Lakish explains it. Tolesh, the first thing he did was he plucked a feather, Chai Mishum Gozes. Number two, Kotem, he clips it, Chai Mishum Mechatech. And number three, Memoret, is Chai Mishum Mechatech. In other words, when he pulls it off, he also smooths it. So we have basically three chidushim here. The first chidush is that he's chayav mishum gozes when he plucks the wing, and when he plucks the feather from a bird, that's equated, that's analogous to shearing wool from the sheep, and it's one av malacha. And if we're talking about a live animal, that's one thing. If you pluck a feather from a dead animal, that's not called shearing. That's the sheet of Rashi. Many Rishonim hold that the malach of shearing applies even to a dead animal. The Rishonim say that he's chayav for plucking, for tolesh, even though he's doing it by hand. In the case of shearing an animal and removing its wool, there he has to use a kli. He uses some sort of kli gziza. But here he could be chayav even beyad. So that's chiddush number one here about tolesh. Then we have kotem, in which he is clipping this feather, and he's chayav mishum mechatech. So it must be that he's very careful to decide how much exactly of the feather could be used for whatever he needs, and he calculates it, and therefore he clips it in a very, you know, very specific size. Then we have a third chiddush here, memoret, that by pulling off the hairs, he's chayav mishum emachek for smoothening. When you remove hairs from a skin, that's considered smoothing. Now, usually when you pull off hairs, let's say from the lower section of the shaft, and that's going to be discarded, why is he chayav for smoothing it? Obviously, he needs only the soft hairs, not the shaft. So this act is not similar to the malacha of memachek, where the hairs are removed in order to use the skins. Therefore, the Ritva says that Agamar is referring to pulling hairs off the shaft so that the shaft can be used for making a hat. Because hats were sometimes woven from the shafts after the hair was removed. And that's why he cuts the feathers into a specific size and he's chayav mishum mechatech. Here, by pulling the hairs off the shaft, and so that he can now use the shaft for a hat, in such a case, he's chayav for smoothing the shaft, and that's called Meleches Memachek. The Mishnah now lists HaKosher V'Amatir. Kshira B'Mishkan Hechahava. Where do they tie knots in the Mishkan? Omar Rava Shekein Koshrin B'Yistos Oholim. They would tie the curtains onto the pegs of the tent. The tents were covered with curtains. Curtains covered over the Mishkan. They were draped over its sides. And it would cover the wooden crushing, the wall boards. Cords were attached to the curtain's lower edges, tied to the pegs. They were driven into the ground. And that would prevent the curtains from flapping in the wool, in the wind. And that's kosher. So the Gemara asks, Vahu kosher amanas lahatir hu? I mean, this is not really a kosher. He's only doing it on a temporary basis. The Mishkan would have to be folded up, disassembled. So this would be kosher amanas lahatir for the sake of untying the knot. And if that be the case, that's not a kesher shel kayoma. Why is he chayav achatos?
Now we have a Mishnah later on that's going to establish that a Kesher She'eino Shel Kayama is Potter from Chatos. El Omar Abaye, it cannot be that he's Chayav Bishud because he's tying the pegs down to the tents, or the curtains down to the pegs, I should say. Shekein Orge Rios, those who weave the curtains, Shenifsikolem Nema, if a thread would break, Koshrin Osa, they would tie it back together. So you had a breakage in the threads, and if the threads ripped or broke, then he would have to tie them back together, and that was the kesher. V'chitema, and if you'll ask the Emis Ramile trechute kitre v'adi adodi is shari chad v'kotar chad, maybe you could say that if, let's say, there were two knots, okay, that's kitre. So you had two threads that were knotted, but b'hadi adodi, they were right next to each other. They were adjacent. And so what you could do is you could untie one of them and tie the other one. So since the adjacent knots protruded in an unseemly fashion from the fabric, they would untie one knot and leave the other knot knotted. And hashta. Oh, so if that be the case, then this explanation of Rava of, just one second. Let's go back. According to Abaye, let's backtrack a little bit. When we're talking about kosher, and it should be a permanent kesher, then we're talking about a case of Orgei Yerias Shenifsikam Lem Neima. So the thread broke and he ties them together. Amale Rava turns to Abaye, says, Teiratz to Kosher. Okay, you found a source in the Mishkan for Kosher, but Matir Mai Ikal Lemeimar. In other words, where in the Mishkan will you be chayav for untying a knot? V'chi Teiman, if you'll say, Di Misrami Le Trei Chuti Kitrei Vadi Adodi. So again, you have two knots that are side by side on two adjacent strings. And in such a case, shari chad v'kotar chad, you're going to untie one and tie the other. And as we said before, the adjacent knots protruded in an unseemly fashion from the fabric, so they untie one knot and leave the other knot knotted. So the Gemara asks, "Hashdol if they melech basav adomein osim kain if they melech valchem lochim Hakadosh Baruch Hu osim kain." We wouldn't do that in front of a king who's made of flesh and blood, a human king. We certainly can't do this in the Mishkan in the presence of the King of Kings. In other words, if you untie one of these strings, you're going to leave an obvious hole in the middle of the fabric. And since each of the strings consisted of six threads, they were therefore relatively thick. Hence, this would not be a proper way to make a curtain, even for a flesh and blood king. And rather, they would avoid tying two knots next to one another on adjacent strings. Instead of tying the second knot next to the first, they would cut out the second string completely and replace it with a single long string that was tied up on the top and the bottom of the weave. So there would never be a need to untie a knot. And we're back to square one. Elama Rava V'itema Rabbi Eloi Shekein Sade Chilazon Koshrin Umatirin. The trappers, otherwise known as tzayadim or tzadeh, chilazon, they would tie and untie their nets. So nets are made of ropes that are tied permanently together. However, sometimes it's necessary to extend the net by untying some of its knots and tying it onto another net.
And this is a case in the Mishkan where you have both kosher and matir. Now the Mishkan has tofesh de tfiros. V'holo kaimi. You know, two tfiros is not, it's not going to be a tfiros shel kayoma. Why should it be chayev? Omar Rabba Baruchon Rabbi Yochanan Ushek Sharon. So after he makes these two stitches, he ties the ends of the thread, and that makes it permanent. Then we have a korea al menas litvar. The Mishnah says he's chayev for the malach of korea if he has in mind the intention of sewing him up. And the Gemara is going to ask our old question, kriya b'mishkan mihavi, was there a case where they tore something in the construction of the Mishkan? Rabba Rab Zera, the Amri Travayu. And here we're on Daf Ayin Heyam and Aleph. Shekein Yiriya Shenofel Badarno. If let's say you have a curtain and a worm fell and bored a hole into the curtain in a round hole, is Korinba, first they would tear it and then Tofernosa, and then they would sew it. So the reason why the fabric would be torn above and below the hole, so that the two ends are open now and he can repair it. If this wasn't done, then the fabric would crease when the hole was sewn closed. So this is where we're going to stop here on the top of Daf Tzadi Hay, I'm sorry, Ayin Hay. And we are up to Amarav Zutra, which you'll see four lines down. I'm sorry, two lines down from the top of Daf Ayin Hay Amarav.